Here's comedian Jeff Allen about the task of raising teenage boys.
He's 6'2", he's a good 230, 230 pounds. Came home from football, and he's all excited. He goes, hey, Dad, I benched 250, finally. I said, really? Can you pick your socks up now?
Oh, what a great comeback that is.
I'm using it.
I'm going to use it, too. This is Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and we're featuring some humorous thoughts about life together as a family from the man you just heard, comedian Jeff Allen.
This is one of the most popular programs of 2010, and I am really excited to share it with our listeners again today. And you know what, John? Sometimes we just need a good laugh. Take a little pause and laugh about life. You're going to hear that from Jeff as he shares his powerful testimony. And I can tell you, Jeff's a personal friend. This is real, and it's true. And we're going to hear toward the end of today's program just how God has impacted his life.
And that story continues on into tomorrow as well. Here now, Jeff Allen on Focus on the Family.
Good to be here. All right. I'm drinking the bottled water because I have no idea where this town gets their tap water from, but showering, I got hit in the head with a carp. If you're sitting here right now thinking, you know, a carp wouldn't fit through the faucet, you can probably get up and leave. You're not going to get the rest of this stuff anyway, so. I got kids driving, teens. That's frightening. Saturday morning, you're looking out your living room window, you see him on his bicycle pop a wheelie and plow right into your mailbox. Yeah, honey, grab the keys. He's ready to go now. I'm telling you, I believe teenagers are God's revenge on mankind. I really believe this. I think one day God looked down over his creation and said, hey, see how they like it to create someone of their own image who denies their existence. I have looked in the Bible. Nowhere does it mention how old Satan was when he rejected God's authority. I'm thinking he was 15. I got to tell you this. I love grapes. I got to share this with you. I love grapes. Red grapes. I love red grapes. When they come out, and I'm talking about when they're in season, not the ones that you get now that are like rocks. I mean, when they're in season and they're grown in California, and it's just amazing grapes. And I pick them all off the stems. I got like 3 pounds one day, 3 pounds of grapes, picked them all off the stems, and I put them in a colander, and I rinsed them all up, and I put them in the refrigerator so when the cold air hit that water, it would just make them crisp, and they'd crunch when you in a juice. I'm sorry, I'm getting excited. 3 pounds of grapes. I picked them all off one at a time by myself, washed them up, put them in the thing, and I went to the driving range, and I hit golf balls, and I got all sweaty and everything, and I'm driving home, and I'm thinking maybe I should get a Gatorade, and then my brain said, no, you have grapes. You have grapes, and I'm driving home thinking about those grapes, and I walk in, and I open the fridge, and the colander's gone. It's gone. And now my son is walking by with a colander, and he's got one grape left. That's it. One grape. He's going to pop it in his mouth. And I said, freeze! Put the grape down and back away from the colander. Tell me you didn't eat 3 pounds of grapes. He said, 3 pounds, is that a lot? Well, if I were you, I'd just get a couple of magazines and I wouldn't stray too far from the bathroom. The laughter you hear will be mine. Understand that. Comes to me one day, he goes, you know, I need my own space. That's what he says to me, in my house, I need my own space. And I remember what my father told me when I said that to him. He opened the front door, said, a lot of space out there, son. And one foot on my backside while he was there, too. Yeah, just a lot of space out there. So we had a room in the basement. It was all junk room and everything. And he says, you know, if we could build this into a bed, I could have a bedroom down here. And I said, you know what? It makes sense. Made sense. I said, you're right. He was 16 at the time. And I thought, well, okay. All right. As long as you understand what this is, right? And he goes, yeah, I understand. So anyway, we build the room and everything, and it's beautiful, and he loves it. And then I'm walking by on the phone. I hear him on the phone. I hear my son say this, finally got my own place. I run in the bedroom and tell my wife, this kid has no intention of ever leaving our home. He thinks he's got a condo down there. That was July. I told her. I said, wait, December, I'm freezing him out. I went down there and sealed all the vents. I just shut him. I figured he would never figure it out. Comes upstairs one day with an electric blanket and 200 feet of an orange extension cord behind him. He looks at me, he goes, hey, what's with the heat? Oh, I don't know. Talk to your homeowners association, condo boy. One week I told him, you got to quit eating all the food around here. There are five of us here, and we feel like we're in competition for food with you. This is an American home, not the Serengeti. There'll be more food tomorrow. Just slow down, save some for your little brother. The boy's so skinny, he fell down a sewer grade yesterday. Thank God he was wearing his bike helmet. He didn't fall all the way through. Those bike helmets save lives, don't they? Oh, come on, man. Anybody in this room over the age of 40 knows you'd have showed up for a bike ride wearing a helmet when you were 13. You'd have needed the helmet to keep your head from caving in while your friends were pelting you with rocks. Hey, Darko, what's with the plastic hat? Cut it out, man. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. You dented my basket. Cha-ching. Yeah, I grew up in America before the lawyers took over. If a kid wanted to maim himself, he could, for gosh sakes. Remember the warnings on cans? I always wondered who those were for. I mean, you read your shaving can, it says right under, contents will explode under flame or fire. Now, you're an adult, you read that, you think, well, I wouldn't plan on shaving with my head in the oven. 12-year-old kid, on the other hand, contents will explode. You can see the light bulb just boing. Six kids hanging over a bonfire. What's going to happen? I don't know. Never done this before. Oh! I believe we've discovered shrapnel. Think I'll give Rummy a call. Remember BB gun fights? Guys, remember that? BB guns, 6-7 guys get BB guns, and the key is you gotta have a good gun. CO2, gas-powered pistol, things go through concrete. My mother gets me a Daisy, one pump. Thing wouldn't penetrate Cool Whip. I'd shoot at guys, they'd catch my BB, hey. 6 feet with an arc, I hit a sparrow in the head once, didn't even wake the bird up. And my kids wanted BB guns 1 year for Christmas, and my dad came to me. I wouldn't get them for him, and my dad goes, hey, they want BB guns, what's wrong with that? I go, what, are you gonna buy glass eyes for them too? And my oldest tells me, I won't shoot my brother. I said, man, if I got you a BB gun and you didn't shoot your brother, I'd have you in for a psychiatric evaluation. I shot my sister so many times growing up, she told her husband her cellulite was BB wounds from me. And he believed her, so who's the moron in that conversation? Unbelievable. And when they grow, they eat. And I'm telling you, you gotta... We hide food, my wife and I. I'm not making that up. We hide food to keep it from our children. How sad is that? We got a stash of brownies and muffins next to our bed. So we go in the room late at night and lock our door. I'm sure the kids think we're doing something else, but... Really, we're just under the covers eating brownies and laughing at them. So you hit 50, your life gets pathetic. It really does. The brownies are here. Woo! Hold hands, run down the hall. Lock the door! Right before the door closes, you hear the kids in the living room. Ooh. It's rough. My wife and I, you know, we try to be romantic. We just remember how much time and energy it takes, and we'd rather watch Law and Order. Just... My wife falls asleep at 9:15 every night. Like clockwork, 9:15. At 9:10, I'll look at her on the couch. It's like a gas leak went off in the living room. And I'll say to her, go to bed. I'm fine. What are you, 5 years old? Go to bed. Shut up, I'm fine. Poor woman has seen the beginning of every Law and Order for the last 5 years. And now they come on and rerun. She'll go, oh, I've seen this one. You might want to give it 20 minutes, honey. But the kids are getting bigger, and they're moving on their own ways, and we got to find things. We got to look for things to do together. 2 years ago, she came up with skiing. That was her idea. We'll ski together. That'll be fun. Skiing. I told her I'm not taking up skiing. Not at my age. Save me the cost of a lift ticket and throw me out a third floor window. Told her, you want to ski, we'll buy a Nordic track. We'll just do it in the living room. Turn the air conditioning up real high, get it nice and frosty, and every 3 or 4 minutes she can run in and smack me in the head with a tree limb. How's that? You nuts. I tried skiing 10 years ago and got knocked unconscious by the chairlift. Yeah, it's funny now. Some of you look at me and think, well, you seem fairly coordinated. How can something that stupid happen? Well, let me explain. I was in my ready position as I had been taught. Notice the knees are slightly flexed, the shoulders are square. Thinking back on it, I believe my face was lathered with anticipation. From behind me, somebody yelled, look out! Now, you know when you hear the words look out, you don't duck. You turn around and see what it is you're looking out for. What'd you say? And the insurance company, you gotta love those people, wouldn't cover the head injury. Guy called me up at home, go, you got hit in the head with a chairlift? I go, yeah. He goes, ah, that makes you a moron. We consider that a pre-existing condition. It's like, wow, they had me. So, and my wife's dieting now, but there are times when she's dieting that she falls off her diet, and I don't care. I really don't. But it's interesting to me how she tries to hide that. The other night, she comes to bed, and she's got chocolate crumbs on the corners of her mouth. So I asked, how's that diet coming along? Oh, it's killing me. It's killing me. I'm getting shelled with crumb fragments as she's talking. Like I'm gonna get up in the morning and notice there are 3 ho-hos missing out of the package. You know, honey, I think somebody broke in last night and stole 3 ho-hos. Couldn't be you, you're on a diet. Wasn't me. That's the third time this week. I think I'm going to call the neighbors, find out if they got a ho-ho bandit. At least she's got ho-hos in the house. There was a time where she'd bring rice cakes into the house. Have you eaten these things? Rice cakes? Cake? You see the word, you think, all right. Take a bite into them. Caulk would be a better word. It's not food, it's insulation. Hold on, we could save money, just eat the styrofoam peanuts that came with your Thighmaster. Dog ate about 9 of those rice cakes. Went in the backyard and passed the thermos. Terrible. Dog could use a diet. Our dog's so fat he can't bark anymore. Just wheezes when the doorbell rings. He goes, and he's a dachshund. He's so fat, when he runs, his stomach drags on the floor. One day he ran across the rug, he set himself on fire. That was bad. I said, man, you gotta slow down. You're gonna burn our house to the ground. Why don't you stay? I'll move the Twinkie crumb over to you. 12 years old, he's not a dog, he's a throw rug. If he didn't break wind, we wouldn't know he was alive half the time. It's my wife's dog. She has a lot of dogs. And it's a good thing because she sometimes needs them to talk to. I love the way she talks to the dog. That's how I can tell what kind of mood she's in sometimes, you know? Because if she's kind of glaring at me, and if I hear her talking to the dog, oh, aren't you the pretty little thing? Then I know it's not too bad. Sometimes she talks to me through the dog. Your daddy's a moron. Daddy's a big idiot. And I'll go, hey, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to him here. It's goofy, I'm telling you. I love my wife to death, but she's got a temper. And I mean a temper. I am not talking irritability and sarcasm because that's what attracted me to her. And she started menopause. Yeah, 3 years ago. So there are nights that I lie in bed and I dream about the good old days of PMS. I cannot get our home cold enough for my wife. Half the week she's on the phone with the air conditioning guy. It's broken again. It's broken. It's not broken. There's not enough freon in the world for that woman. Trust me, if there is a hole in the ozone, it's over the roof of my home in Nashville, Tennessee. It's 48 degrees in my bedroom. We got meat hanging off the curtain rods. And she'll walk in and turn on that 64-bladed fan she installed. I had to bolt the furniture to the floor to keep it from getting sucked through the roof. Standing so hot, it's so hot, it's so hot. And then she wakes me up to feel her night sweats. Is that necessary? I'm telling you, I'm sound asleep, sound asleep. She'll zip my parka right open, just zip the parka. Wake up, feel this, it's disgusting. Look at this, I'm just sitting here. There's like a furnace in me or something. Well, you're lucky you don't have to go through this. You know, I wouldn't if you could have waken me up. I told our boys, watch out, Mom's going through some serious stuff here. I said, like what? Those nights you didn't do your homework right away, she'd get maybe mad and yell at you? He said, yeah. I said, be a little different now. She might start crying and then stab you.
This is Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and we're listening to comedian Jeff Allen. And the comedy continued, but we want to make sure that you hear the heart of his message. And that's coming up in just a few moments, where he describes how his life began to fall apart. And I should mention, this message is available on DVD. I've seen it. It has so much comedy and some deep content as well. Please get a copy of this today when you call 800-A-FAMILY, 800-232-6459. All right, we'll turn the corner here now as Jeff Allen shares very candidly about his life on today's Focus on the Family.
19 years ago, I crawled into Alcoholics Anonymous. I literally crawled into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I just wanted to stop drinking. And my father, I remember I was a couple years into that journey of Alcoholics Anonymous, and my father asked me, because he wrestled with alcohol his entire life, and he said, what was the catalyst that got you to stop drinking? Because that something profound always happens for an addict to give up using. And I looked at my father and said, I beat my six-month-old son in a crib. And I couldn't think of anything as a man that would shame me more than that. There's a great saying I heard a pastor say once, every man needs to get downwind from himself. And that night, as drunk as I was and as coked up as I was, I remember getting downwind, and I saw my son as he was walking away. My wife had gotten him away from me, and she was walking down the hall, and his head was over her shoulders, and her back was to me. And as I walked towards him, I got under the light in the halls, and my son, 6 months old, got a look at me, and his eyes filled with fear. He got really large, and I realized that I put that fear in that innocent child's life. And he sat on the bed with my wife, and my wife fed him. He got beat because he was hungry.
Nothing as a man could have shamed me more than that. And I came into my wife and I said to her, if you don't take me to Alcoholics Anonymous, because I had gone 5 years earlier and I only stayed a few months and then I left. And I said, if you don't take me, I won't go. And if I don't go, we won't be married. I didn't know how I knew that. I believe that God speaks to us in our worst moments. I really believe that now. In hindsight, I look back on that 19 years ago, and I believe God was right there in my house. As broken and as beat up as that house was, he was there. She takes me to Alcoholics Anonymous. They say to me, you got to pray. And I said, to what? And they said, find something in this universe that's larger than you. The world doesn't revolve around you. Alcoholism is a very self-centered disease. Only a self-centered, arrogant person would destroy themselves and the people around them willy-nilly. So they knew that. They said, get on your knees and pray. And I said, to what? And I go, find something, Jeff. Just find something. And I couldn't get my head around that. Honestly, folks, I tried. I could not get my head around the whole concept of me making up an entity that was larger than me, because the only thing that exceeded my arrogance was my ignorance. So I would go to these meetings, and I would stand there, and I'd raise my hand, and I'd share as honesty. That's what I was told. If you're honest, you'll get well. So I would share, and I would raise my hand, and I would tell these people to their face, I hate all of you people. I hate the fact that I'm here. I can't stand the fact that I'm a drunk. I don't want to be here. I hate you. I hate everything. I can't stand life. I hate it. And they would say, well, keep coming back. I tell you, I believe it's the first place I saw the face of God, because I tried to get fired from Alcoholics Anonymous. I really did. I just wanted them to say, get out of here. You can't, you're not welcome here. You're a scumbag. And they never did. They just go, keep coming back. And I did. I kept coming back. And I went to therapy. I started with therapy because I wanted to find out what was wrong with me. I don't know if there's a person here that knows what it's like to wake up every day of your life and this anxiety would start. And it was all about just, what's the point? What's the point? That question, what's the point? I don't know. I read a book one time, and it said that alcoholics, when they start drinking, become frozen emotionally. It's almost like this little cryogenic program where you freeze your emotions. And I started at 14 or 15 with alcohol, and I drank obsessively from the moment I started. I didn't gradually work into this. And I believe when I got sober at 31 years old, I unfroze these emotions, because that's the way I felt. I felt like a 15-year-old or a 14-year-old in a 31-year-old body, and I would just, I'm telling you, I would just scream at people. I would have fits in banks, and I'd have fits in gas stations, and I'd have fits on the road, and I had fits everywhere, and it was worse at home. As bad as I was in public, I was as bad at home, and I figured out that I was poisoning my family. So I moved to the other end of my house. I just avoided my family in the home. My wife took it as that I didn't love her. There's nothing to be further from the truth. I loved her enough to stay away from her. But we couldn't talk about that stuff without getting into a fight. It was awful.
Some candid reflections on some pretty dark times in the life of Jeff Allen on today's Focus on the Family. He's a comedian. There are some funny moments to this presentation, but as you can tell, he's really getting down to what you might call the nitty-gritty of his message here.
We are, John, but that's where real life is, isn't it? Sooner or later, you do hit rock bottom, especially if you're trying to avoid your problems through drugs or alcohol. You know, with a lot of comedians, a lot of them become funny because they're covering something, mm-hmm. and I think you hear that in Jeff's testimony. And particularly, it sounds like it was really hard on their marriage. And let me tell you, when your marriage hits a wall, it's really important to get help. And so often you need outside help. You need an objective mediator, someone like a pastor, a counselor, a mentor, to listen to what's going on in your relationship and help both of you kind of find your way through the weeds. You know, for us guys, like a sports analogy, the referee, someone who can see the play and throw the flag if there was an infraction, those folks can help make the call and offer insights that probably you and your spouse are missing. And it's possible that you're in that spot, that your marriage is struggling. Maybe you have thought about divorce. It's crept into the conversation. Well, guess what? We've got great news. Here at Focus on the Family, we have a new retreat center. We have partnered with the National Institute of Marriage. They are now a part of Focus on the Family. And they have had thousands of couples go through their program. And here's the great news. Almost 85% of those divorce-minded couples that are coming for help, 2 years later, are still married and doing much, much better. That should be hope for everyone who's in a tough spot. And we want to make that available to you if you are struggling right now. Let me read one testimony from National Institute of Marriage. They wrote, "The experience at NIM has been like no other. Going to NIM was tough because we felt little hope and figured that we had talked to so many counselors, read books, and went to seminars and church, and nothing helped. Divorce was on the table. Hate was in the air, and resentment was pushing us in bad directions. Being at NIM's group intensive was worth every dollar. We learned the exact, unique, but easy tools to use every day in many, if not every, situation. We felt extremely cared for, listened to, and loved on. What a great staff you have at NIM. Our experience exceeded our expectations, and we're forever grateful to have our marriage back." Folks, that is good stuff. And there are literally thousands of testimonies like that. And that's why we're so excited here at Focus on the Family to now call NIM a part of the Ministry of Focus on the Family. So if you're in that place and you need help, the doors are wide open. We want to embrace you in that painful moment with the hope that smiles will come. I think they have a track record that will deliver that. And I hope you'll risk taking the opportunity to contact us here at Focus to find out more.
It really is a very exciting opportunity for us to reach out and help so many more marriages. And we'd love to tell you more, so please give us a call at 800, the letter A and the word family, 800-232-6459. Or look for a link to the National Institute of Marriage. The starting point for that will be at focusonthefamily.com/radio. And, of course, this kind of outreach will stretch us a bit financially, so please consider giving a gift today as we reach out to help marriages thrive and to see God work at restoring broken and hurting marriages. As our way of saying thank you for your generous gift today of any amount, we'll send a copy of Jeff Allen's DVD, My Heart, My Comedy. It includes much, much more material than we could share on the air here, and I know you'll appreciate it. He'll have you in stitches as he addresses so many of those humorous moments of life. And especially when you see the visual elements of his humor. He's just fun to watch as he describes teens with sagging jeans and his ready position at the ski lift and so much more. It's a full 80-minute DVD, including his interview with Tammy. And you'll hear that next time. Again, the title of the DVD is My Heart, My Comedy. And we have that here for you at Focus on the Family. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family and made possible by generous listeners like you. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back tomorrow when you'll hear how Jeff and Tammy's marriage was saved as we once again turn our hearts toward home.